Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.
A long time ago, I think in Star Wars is something like long ago in a universe far away. Is that what it was? I used to work at the Pentagon. Scary thought, I know. And I had a sign on my desk in the Pentagon, and I was in charge of analysis. I don't mean Enoch Dangerfield kind of analysis, psychiatric analysis. I meant numerical analysis. And I had a sign on my desk that said, "Analysis performed here, good, quick, cheap, pick two." You get the idea. People often want things high quality, they want it quick, and they want it cheap, all at the same time. Our four words for the month are involvement, discipleship, giving, and commitment. Now, technically, as opposed to my sign at the Pentagon, we don't want you to literally pick two, pick three. We're sort of hoping you'll pick something off of all four. But that having been said, if you're going to pick two, we believe the other two will emerge organically out of having picked the right two. Our belief is that if you become involved, and you become involved particularly as it relates to growing as a disciple, your giving and your commitment will organically emerge out of that. That's what we believe. Today's passage is our sixth parable. Can you believe that? Sixth parable out of Matthew. And when I picked it back about 20 weeks ago or so, maybe even 26 weeks ago, how long ago was it, Roberta? Forever. January, February, whatever it was. I thought where I'd go with this would be to sort of talk about the talents. And in English, we have the word talent has emerged in part out of this passage. A talent was a unit of measure in the Mediterranean Babylonian world. It was not a constant. It's not a constant. There was a Babylonian talent, there's a Syrian talent, there's a Roman talent, there's a Greek. It goes on. Not constant. But a talent was a whole lot of money. Whole lot of money. You could argue that it was probably in the range of 200 years, let me say that again, 200 years worth of compensation to the average worker of the day. 200 years. So if we were to sort of take into our world what a talent is, it depends upon you're operating at minimum wage or if you're operating at the median level of income. Those of you that number of people understand the difference, that what a median is. It's the middle point of all the people in the economy. So it's somewhere between a quarter of a million and half a million dollars, one talent. One talent. So it's a whole lot of money. And the owner here has given out one, two, and five. So it could be easily be in the range of like $1.5 million for the one who's got the most. So he has not given away an insignificant amount of money. Now what I want to focus on for our time together is two ideas. Two ideas. One is the idea that the landowner, the owner, the master, says to the first two, and he compliments them on having been faithful. Now, I want to dwell for a moment on the third one, the third servant. It's interesting because the nature of this narrative is that we really don't get a lot of insight into the nature of the character of the first two. We have some dialogue there and some banter back and forth, but most of the dialogue occurs between the owner and the third servant. That's where we start to get really a better idea of what the character is about and what character is going on within this. And the master is annoyed. Is annoyed over the lack of faithfulness. That's not stated directly. Compliments the first two on being faithful, but comes back to the third one and he accuses him of being slothful. Now, I don't know about you. I don't use slothful every day. Does anybody here use slothful every day? I don't use it. So what is it? What does it mean? And it means lots of things, as you might suspect. But one of the most common synonyms for slothful is a person who's apathetic. Apathetic. And so apathetic is pathetikos is someone without pathetikos sensitivity. Someone without sensitivity. And the third servant has a negative critique placed upon him for being slothful, for being apathetic. And that's where I want to talk for a few minutes. Malcolm Gladwell is an author that I have read a lot of, and I have talked to you about some of his books. In the book Outliers, he talks in there about the Matthew effect. And the idea behind the Matthew effect is this passage. It comes back from both this passage and also a similar passage in Matthew 13, verse 11. And what he says is that for those who take the talent from him, to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But those who have nothing, even what they have, will be taken away. Let me read that again. Does that make anybody nervous? Does that bother anybody a little bit? Good. It bothers lots of us. All right? So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to all of those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And there's a similar narrative of that in Matthew 13, verse 11 and 12. It's very, very similar to that. What's the that they have and don't have? I would offer to you that it's this play between faithfulness and apathy that's going on here. The first two servants have a certain amount of faithfulness. Correspondingly, the opposite of apathy is industry, engagement. Now, admittedly, I want to emphasize here that I'm creating this out of what's not being said. So when you go back and you have a conversation with someone else about this, understand that we're arguing partially from silence, which is a risky argument. But that having been said, the master turns to the first two and says, "You've been faithful." And he turns to the last one and he says, "You've been apathetic." Implied, is that the first two have been faithful and energetic, and the last one has been faithless and lacked energy, lacked focus. What does this say to us in the 21st century? What does this say to us about what it is that we need to take away from this passage? What does it say to us in relation to that passage that Malcolm Gladwell addresses there when he calls it, and he's actually reporting to us that others have named it this Matthew effect. And what the Matthew effect is that there are people in this world who are, I'm going to use a baseball imagery. I've used it before. Okay, World Series starts on Tuesday, so I'm given some dispensation. Go Royals, by the way. I know there's some Giant fans here, but God loves you anyway, in spite of that. But there are people in the world that are born on third base and think they've hit a triple. I've used that idea before. And the Matthew effect is that it's sort of a commentary on that. Is that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, the idea within this passage goes back to the issue of the master gives things out according to their ability. So he gives 5 to 1 according to ability. Gives 2 to somebody and according to their ability. And he gives 1 to someone else according to their ability. So the master clearly has an idea that all 3 of them have some ability. He doesn't hand the one who gets nowhere nothing. He gives them 1. Now, the question then is, it relates back to this ending of it. For those who have a lot more will be given, and those who have nothing, everything will be taken from it. And what is it that has been given to them? Or what is it that they've displayed? And I would argue that it's their faithfulness. Their faithfulness. I wish that when Jesus had told the parable, he had a 4th person out there that he gave 1 to, and he lost it all. And he still complimented him over the fact that he still gave it an effort. He gave it a try. He tried to do something with it, and it just didn't quite work. And he would have at least complimented his energy, his industriousness. But that wasn't quite what got given to us. The Catholic Church defines sloth, apathy, as one of their 7 basic sins. I'm seeing some heads nod here. Sloth is defined as spiritual and emotional apathy, neglecting what God has spoken and being physically and emotionally inactive. So it's the inactivity that's the sinfulness. It can also be either an outright refusal or merely a carelessness in the performance of one's obligations. In the narrative we had today, in the parable we had today, it's intentional. It's not carelessness. It's an outright refusal. Especially spiritual, moral, or legal obligations. Sloth can also indicate a wasting due to lack of use concerning a person, place, thing, skill, or intangible ideal that would require maintenance, refinement, or support to continue to exist. Thank you, Roman Catholic Church. I think that's a pretty good definition for us. I think it's helpful for us to understand what's going on here. And in this passage, the slothful servant has been faithless. The 2 other servants who have been faithful have been energetic. They have been the opposite of slothful. They have been the opposite of apathetic. They have shown sensitivity. Now, there was an author in the middle part of the 20th century that we don't quite study as much as we used to at one time. He's probably at a level with Faulkner and Steinbeck and Hemingway. His name's John Dos Passos. Anybody heard John Dos Passos before? Okay, I see a few heads now, nod there. Dos Passos is an important writer in the 20th century. And he writes, apathy is one of the characteristic responses of any living organism when it is subjected to too much stimulus that's too intense or too complicated to cope with. The cure for apathy is comprehension. I've gotten back to the beginning. If our four words are involvement, growth as a disciple, discipleship, giving, and commitment, Dos Passos gives us the invitation there. Dos Passos gives us the invitation to seek comprehension, because it will be its own palliative, its own cure for our confusion, our apathy. And that's, to some extent, what has happened here with the third servant. He's got almost too much information. He's almost got too much information, and it causes him to believe that if I am like the other two servants, the master is going to hold him too accountable. And it's a pretty negative critique of the master. You reaped where you did not sow. Wow. And the master doesn't even take that issue on. He just simply sits down and says, you are slothful. And then he gets down to the thing, throw him out in the outer darkness. Now, that's the second week in a row we've had somebody get thrown out in the outer darkness. Whew. God invites us to be fruitful with those talents. And I don't just mean music and teaching. I mean the nature of how we've been born sometimes on third base. And we sometimes think we've hit a triple. God invites us to understand that it's our task to go about being fruitful with what has been given to us. In all honesty, we sit in a sanctuary that we didn't build. Most of us did not build. Some of us did. We sit on pews that we didn't help buy. We hear music written by composers that are long since gone on, and they still warm our hearts. They still touch us in some kind of way. We are given a choice of being one of those categories of servants, one of the ones who's been given five or been given two or been given one. Where we are, I don't know. Where you are, I don't know. But the invitation is there for us to take those and to take that which has been given to us and multiply it in some kind of way. We can be faithful. We can be energetic. Or we can be faithless, and we can be consumed by what it is that we don't know. Just the bombardment of information on us, the bombardment of data on us. The invitation for us is to see that part of the way we separate that level of bombardment from us is by increasing our level of involvement through our growth as disciples. My thoughts are that if we can grow as disciples, we will grow in our giving. We will grow in our commitment. Marilyn and I, last year, turned a pledge card in to Hilltop United Methodist Church, and the amount on that pledge card was $14,400. Marilyn and I are committed to Hilltop United Methodist Church. We are blessed to be here. That having been said, we didn't get to a place where that number occurred just like that. It occurred slowly. It occurred gradually. It occurred by us getting more involved in God's church. It occurred by us engaging the topic of discipleship. And what happened is, it wasn't a bunch of preachers standing up there talking to us about tithing that led us to put that number down. Quite the opposite. It was our growth as disciples, our growth and involvement that led us to cause that number to be there. I don't want anybody to engage our missional, our needs here out of guilt or out of a response driven by guilt. I want you to become involved in this church, to become better disciples, and to be faithful in what it is that God invites you to do. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to you this morning seeking wisdom, seeking insight as to where you would have us be. Our step-up invitation today is about giving, but it's about so much more than simply a dollar sign. It's also about giving of ourselves to you as a response to our growth as disciples, as a response to our involvement in your world. Let us be able to hear your small, still voice calling upon us and inviting us to be engaged and committed to your church. And all of God's children say, amen. Get out of here. Let's get out of here, out into God's world, knowing that God invites us to be faithful. God invites us to be engaged. And the negative critique in the story is those that are without faithfulness, those that are without engagement, it is from them that much will be taken and given to those that are faithful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, all of God's children say, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast from Hilltop United Methodist Church. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. The locals would say we are just a little bit east of the intersection of 7th and 106th on 106th. God's blessings to you. We hope to see you on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Peace be with you.